Blog Talk Radio.
Or home feel advantage.
Into the kings of the 7 o'clock spot for home field advantage sports talk, where our motto is our home, our field for advantage. You better take advantage. And as usual, the music is brought to you by Cindy Boy South. That's CIDDYBOYSOUT. I'm still working on it.
You're just a little flat.
I don't know what happened. I had the magic early in the year. I don't know what happened. But anyway, man. Hey,
no,
we're not doing that. We're not doing that. But ladies and gentlemen, we gonna talk about the letter that one teacher wrote to Stephen Curry. You haven't heard about that. We'll talk about that. And we also gonna talk about these athletes on social media and the things that they do. In other words, being stupid. Anyway, be a part of the show. It's 347-215-9490. That's 347-215. 94-90. Remix. Okay, so, like I said, it was a teacher in, I believe it was in Oakland, California, I believe?
Yeah, Bay Area.
And basically, he wrote a letter to Stephen Curry about, I'm going to say how I think he, you know, his intentions. Maybe y'all agree or disagree. But pretty much, he was just saying how he wouldn't want him to come to the school because he wouldn't feel that, well, not just Stephen Curry, really. I think he's talking about any athlete would actually give the reality about going pro and the things you have to do and how it starts very early. That's what I got from him. I think he just shared the reality of everybody's not going to make it. That's just my opinion. Y'all agree or disagree?
I disagree with what his point of the blog was. His point was that he didn't want Steph Curry to come to speak to his students because he didn't feel that Steph Curry would say the things that needed to be said. He would just inspire them to further a lot of their dreams that may be unrealistic, for lack of a better word. Just you know, probably it's not going to happen. I don't think it was more of a whether or not his kids could do it. It's more of a Steph Curry is not going to say the hard things that he has to say to them to have them on track.
Yeah, I think I know reading the letter, I was kind of on the fence. I'm going to be honest with you. In some sense, I understand exactly what he's saying, because at the end of the day, I think that reality needs to be talked about, first of all. I don't think a lot of kids don't get that talk. As far as, like, I know with my parents, I constantly heard it in the sense of, you know, about getting your education and everything. And the truth is, when it comes to sports, especially in basketball, where the roster is not that long. I mean, it's not that many people on that roster.
How many people is on the NBA roster?
Well, I was going to say 12, ain't it? Yeah. And the reality of it is, everybody's not going to make it. That's just the God honest truth. And at first, when I first read it, I was like, because he even said for himself, he has told kids, you're not going to make it. like he talks the reality of it. And I was like, was that his place in a sense? That's the first thing I said. But then I was thinking how you got a lot of parents that are not around. Most of them are working. They don't really hear that from other people. So I'm like, he's being a teacher. You know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. But then I kind of got on the fence of, why would you turn him away to come to the school if that was the case, if he was coming? Because some kids need that inspiration, or they need to be inspired as far as not just basketball being other things.
Well, that's the look, just because you're a teacher don't make you smart.
True.
Let's get that perfectly clear. Inspiration. It's so, you know, it's like that old saying, it takes one muscle to smile and you have to use 1,000 muscles to frown. That's how we live in society. We see the easy stuff is being negative, which is really hard. You should automatically be thankful for a lot of things just off rip, waking up, walking, the simple things. But kids need to be inspired. It doesn't matter that they're not going to make it.
Preach.
Sometimes people just need a shot. Sometimes people just need to hear. Sometimes people just need a proverbial brass ring to reach for. You know, when you see these kids out here in the streets and, you know, they locked up or getting in trouble or whatever the case may be, and, you know, and the prison psychiatrist or whoever started talking to him, like, what do you think you went wrong? Well, I never had anybody to have my back or show me the right way or had anybody to tell me I can be something. And then you wonder why they're like that. Like, people really don't think about the origin of a child and them becoming an adult. If you grow up in a negative environment or a harsh environment, more than likely you're going to adapt to that environment. It's very rare that people do not come out of that environment and be different than their environment.
And that's why I said, did this teacher have the right to even go that route with students?
No, I think it should be disciplined.
Because that's how I'm looking at it. Like, I came from, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I used to live on Boulevard, the bad part of Boulevard. And I couldn't go outside where I lived at. So I stayed at school pretty much until I had to get home before the street lights. When I came to school, to me, that was a safety mat. You know, like a safety place to me. I don't want to deal with negative 24/7. I already got to deal when I go home. So it's like a lot of kids are like that. They don't want to, they can't deal with negative 24/7. So I was like, was it his place to even, because he admitted, he said, he tells students this, you're not going to make it. And students reply by saying, oh, you know.
You know, when a kid gets older, you know, like that teenage, you know, realm, like 16, 17, 18, that's when you need to have those more realistic talks with them. But you still should not even crush their dreams. Elementary kid, I mean, if you're in the third grade, what do you think? You know, so what you're thinking? Oh, I love Steph Curry. I would like to be like Steph. Who cares about what you're thinking? You're going to change your mind. Most kids will change their mind at least 1,000 times before they become a teenager about what they want to be. It's just like when people go to college. How many times, you know, people change their major?
They still do it
this
day.
Right. So that's why I think personally he needs to be disciplined for even doing that. I don't know about termination because he, you know, but it's just like, okay, perfect example. In the state of Georgia, when we had all this, the cheating scandal with the kids. So basically all these teachers, quote unquote, which I don't fully blame them, but that's another story. They were giving the kids false hope. These
wow.
kids sitting up here
yeah.
passing, and you know that boy on the fourth grade level and he in the 10th grade. You know, so you're giving them false hope. So, you know, it's not always about sports. You're looking at the money. Everybody doesn't want to be a basketball player or entertainer or, you know, some people want to be an engineer. Some people want to be a doctor, a scientist, or something.
Some people want to just live.
Yeah. So what about those students that got false hope from their own teachers?
I have to say that I wholeheartedly disagree with both of you guys. I thought that he made a bunch of broad generalizations, but I think that was for creative purposes. But I thought everything he said was spot on. First of all, he wasn't talking to kids. He was talking to high schoolers, right? That's the age where you need a reality check. And too many high schoolers don't get a reality check the way that they should. I honestly believe that this guy was basically saying, you coming here is going to stop what I'm trying to teach them, which is there's more ways to make a success of yourself than to just pick up a sport. I think he was wrong in generalizing that majority of his kids want to do that, or that's what they would get from Steph Curry. But in a sense, like, we really need that. All of us went to school with some guys that thought they could make it, and we all knew there's no way you even make it past college. You might not even make a college team. Me and Marlon, we know a guy. I won't say his name. I thought he was, I mean, he reminds you of Charles Barkley, kind of looked like him, but he shot the ball really well. Like, he could ball. He could ball. Like, we could not beat him, and we used to play him all the time because I was friends with his family.
I could.
Okay. But he was serious about it. He was on the team. He wasn't, I don't feel like anybody was really there to say, like, enjoy this, but this is probably going to be it. And I think what this teacher was saying was, Steph Curry is not going to come there and say that to a high schooler.
How does he know that?
That's true. It's another assumption. That's why I said I think this was written in a creative way to catch people's attention. But the things that he was saying, it sounds like a teacher that's involved in his kids' lives, which I think that's what you need.
Or it could sound like a teacher that has a massive ego, and that he wants the kids to, that he's the focus of the kids.
I can see that too. I can see that too, but that doesn't take away from the message. Like, too many high schoolers have this dream that I'm going to get to college, and I'm going to go from, what they say, I'm going to go from community college and go to community college to a real college, then I'm going to the NBA and I'm buy my mama a house and all this stuff. But it's like, everybody doesn't get that shot. Even Steph Curry went a hard route. He went to Davidson. And I don't know, did he even have a scholarship? I don't think he did.
No, that's the only school that offered him a full scholarship.
Oh, okay. He went to Davidson.
Dale said, I ain't paying.
Right. He went the long way.
Yeah, he did.
You know what I'm saying? So, and if I remember correctly, I think he's the only guy drafted from Davidson. If I remember correctly.
I'm not sure.
So, you come to a school and speak with the children about this or about making it, a lot of kids are going to look at him and say, you did it the hard way. You went to Davidson. You went here. You made it. I could do it. And I thought that the teacher made an excellent point. Like, he made an excellent point that, you know, he's 6'3". On TV, you look short. In real life, you're tall. You're going to come in my class. You're going to be taller than everybody in the class.
Yeah.
I'm a person that's like that. I'm nearly 6'3". When I played basketball, I played center. I was a shot blocker. Okay, there's no way I'm going to college. Don't matter how skilled I became, I wasn't going to college because I'm only 6'3".
I agree, because I said that. If it was high schoolers, I said they need a little bit more of realization. But, here's the hypocrisy within that. And I'm sure he's not like the lone teacher that stands by himself when this happens. So you got a kid in your school that's a star player in your school. And the high school we went to in my era when I was there, we had quite a few. I think we had three people make it to the NFL when I, you know, from my era. I know for a fact that that school was rallying around those kids. The entire school. I'm not talking about the students. I'm talking about the faculty.
Right.
Okay.
They rallying around them kids. So, let's be honest. If I'm a high school kid, okay, like for me, for example, I did not play high school football nor basketball. I played high school baseball. They didn't give a crap about the baseball program when I was there. So, but if you was pretty good at any sport, you'll get a little coddling by the teaching staff, I mean by the faculty. So just imagine the school that really brought them in money. Oh, they love those guys. So if you're a kid and you play sports and you see them teachers and administrators not rallying around you, you already know. What you're going to have to do is dig down deep and say how much you really want it and do whatever it takes to make it. And when you know, that's on you. But you know. Because we knew those guys were going to make it. Barring injury.
And I don't disagree with that, and I'm on the fence because I know that kids need encouragement, and when I was in school, I'd love to get a visit from Michael Jordan. I remember meeting Dikembe Mutombo, and I just thought that was the greatest thing ever. But you guys are looking at one side. Could it be possible that Steph Curry can get there and can in the midst of inspiring these kids? Because I think Steph Curry is an excellent example to even follow.
Yeah.
But could he get there and inspire some kids to divert themselves from a path in which they could actually be a success?
I'm gonna say no, and this is the reason why. I grew up when I was really young in the inner city, Bowen Homes, if you know what that is. When athletes used to come to that school, and I mean we were really young, but when they used to come there, it was like protocol. I can remember Tree Rollins, Dominique, Spud Webb, Mike Tyson. I can remember all these guys coming there, and they would say how great it is and all this, that, and the other. You know, Mike was lying. Anyway, how great everything was and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, there is a chance that you may not get as far as I did. You know, that's why I did go to college. Well, not Mike Tyson. That's why I did go to college, and that's why I did this, and that's why I did that. This is why you're focusing on, you know, you need to focus on your education. I mean, it was like protocol. Like it's a handbook for all athletes when they go to a school. And not only that, now since I'm older, I'm almost certain that before they go into any classroom, they're going to meet with the principal and the head admin and have a conversation. No principal is just going to let Steph Curry walk in there and say, "Hey, all y'all going to make it.
Yeah.
Hey, you 6'2", you 1 inch behind me. Cross up." Ain't nobody gonna do that.
That's true, but how many are gonna go in there and tell a kid, let's say a kid comes up to him and, "Hey, do I have a shot?" And the kid's 5'9". And you think Steph Curry's supposed to tell them, "Oh yeah, anything is possible." That's what they're gonna say. It's like you said, that's the script. Because I was the same kid. They would say the same thing to us all. Even stay in school, get your A's. This is how you make it. It's a real dry spiel. And even though it may have been inspiring, to many kids who dream it is to make it big, it may be the wrong message.
By the way, I thought Mike Tyson was high.
He probably was. He probably was.
I just take offense. I take offense to stuff like that because I remember as a kid, I'll never forget it. It was career day at my school. And this guy, I was one of the kids, so I was a patrolman. And remember, we escorted them around, all the different people or whatever. And he asked me, he said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I said, "You know, I want to be like Eddie Murphy." And I remember he put his arm on my shoulder, and he said, "Kid, you need to stay in school, focus on your education." He said, "Because you're not going to make it." He said, "I'll be president of the United States before you make it, and I'm black." I didn't know what that meant at that time because I didn't know. I think I was like the fourth grade or something. I didn't know we never had a black president. I mean, you know, we still trying to learn timetables back in the 80s.
Right.
So when I grew up, but that message, I knew he was putting me down. Even though I didn't understand what he was saying, I knew he was putting me down. And there's a positive way to let somebody down easily. And that always motivated me to be great because anybody that knows me know I compete. I compete in almost anything I do, and that pissed me off as I got older.
And, you know, the thing, I think that there's a line drawn, and I think we've all made this point, there's a line drawn at what age. Like, middle school on down, you shouldn't be having these conversations with kids as though you're not going to make it.
And I hope he's dead, too.
Oh, my Jesus Christ. Lord. Shamanalai.
Bruh.
continuing on.
May he rest in.
But when you get older, and this, you know what? You guys may feel different because you have children. But I wouldn't mind someone telling my little cousins or something that may be too short or not even practicing, because he even makes a point. He said, the kids I'm talking about do not play basketball year-round. They are not in a traveling league. They never have even heard of a McDonald's All-American. How are you going to make it? So at this point in high school, I need you to let go of that dream. I do. Especially if you're not 6'11". Like, I remember someone was telling me when I was talking about this subject, they were saying, well, look at Serge Ibaka. He didn't play until high school. Or I think Andre Drummond was another one. Amari Stoudemire. He didn't play.
He was junior or senior. He was very late. He played. He was defense and playing football at the time.
Dennis Schroeder was a skateboarder. And somebody brought him along at high school and said, you want to try basketball? So,
oh, to be lovely.
Well, understand that these guys were all, except Dennis Schroeder, all of them are immensely tall, like crazy tall. Like, you don't see that type of tall. Okay, so there's a difference. We all know kids that are like 5'11", they got crazy dribbling, and they like, I'm going to make it. Okay, how many short guards are in this league that is balling out of control? It's not a lot of them. I think, Rashad, you can attest to this. Even when we were growing up, hey, man, short of you all, man, you didn't even make the team in high school.
You were lucky to make it to the final cut. And I went to Doug. So if everybody know how Doug was back in the day. I made it to the final cut twice. And you want to know what their reason was every time?
What was that?
I was too short.
And it's not that
sad, but
it's not that I'm saying that you should discourage kids. But I think you do get to a point where it needs to, hey, I need to have a realistic conversation with you.
I believe in people reaching for the stars, and I think that it's nothing wrong with them reaching for the stars, but you have to have a backup plan. And I think that there, like, to me, I think it's lazy as a adult to just tell a child, you ain't going to make it. I think you need to help them, try to help inspire them to make it, but also instill in them a sense of realism. And just to be like, no, I just think that's
what
I think is wrong.
I think we're also assuming that that's what he does.
That's the way the article came off.
When I did read it, it came off like he tell these kids. If let me see, if I can find it.
It comes
he
off
said
as
it.
That, but he never says this is how I treat them. He didn't say he does it harshly. I just think that sometimes you have to get realistic with a child, and I agree. Having a backup plan is important. I just don't think that most kids hang on to a backup plan. It's the truth of the matter. They just don't. They have big dreams. And when you get in high school, I want somebody, when I have a child, to tell my child in high school, if he's holding on to a dream that he has not told me, to let them know either this is the way you make it or you need to let this go. And I wouldn't have a problem with that. I really wouldn't. Now, whether or not he tells them, you ain't going to make it because you ain't good enough and all that, that's different. All the things he's saying is what he's talking to Steph Curry and saying, you're not going to tell my my students this. I just hate when kids hold on to a dream that is fleeting. Like in basketball, you ain't even promised a long career.
But Mike, in high school, especially 16, 17 years old, you pretty much know where you're going. You know if you're going to go to the workforce or if you're good enough to go play college sport. Most kids know. Are there some that are still delusional? Yes, there are a lot of adults that are still delusional.
I think most of them don't know.
Ah, shoot.
This is coming from personal experience. I remember guys and girls that I went to school with, especially the ones that were already on the team. A lot of them had the same dream and nothing else. And I can tell you right now, from personal experience, especially on the guy's side, more than half of them didn't even touch the tip of that dream. Pause. They didn't even get a fleeting moment of that dream. The one guy, I think he went to college. He went to a community college, and he was able to be an undrafted free agent with the Colts. But he never saw that.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's the highest I've seen go.
But he has came out and doing pretty solid for himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he ain't living the lavish life of a NFL player.
But solid if you mean check to check, you ain't making six figures, then yeah.
I mean, but is that what we measuring success off of?
Wait, you're talking about his money?
Yeah.
Talking about, are we measuring success?
I'm just making one point of it. I get you.
I'm not saying money is all, you know, be all. I'm just saying, and again, like I said, I could feel differently when I get to you guys' position to have a child and to envision somebody telling my child that they possibly can't do something. That does scare me. But at the same time, I know the guys that I grew up with. I even know one that was super talented. He didn't sniff nothing. And just that's not because he wasn't good enough. It's merely because that was just too hard.
I would tell you this. For example, the brother of the person you're talking about.
I didn't even know he had a brother.
Yeah, his brother's my age.
Okay.
Me
and Marlon went to the same school, just in case anybody's wondering.
But we're like 5 years apart. So his brother, I used to say, when we were kids, because I was decent in basketball,
mm-hmm.
I used to say he's the only person I would pay that's my age to go, that I'll come and see him play. I would pay to see him play. Never, he plays a semi, but never made it. You know, he had circumstances that stopped, and that's another thing, too, when you become an adult, circumstance, support system and stuff like that, those are factors, too. And that's why if your support system is not as strong as you need,
right,
you're probably going to fail. You know, on social media the other day, that's why I said when you're trying to achieve a dream, you cannot rely on your family, your friends, your loved ones, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife. You can't rely on anybody for support. If you really want it, you have to go for it on your own. And you tell them, hey, I love you, I respect you, but I got to do this on my own. If you support me, thank you. If you don't, then I have to do this on my own. Because people are always going to be detractors. You're always going to hear people say, yeah, you're pretty good at it, but, you know, you're not really that tall. Or, yeah, you're pretty good at it, but, like, are you big enough to really play football? You know, you're going to hear that stuff, and you don't need that. Like, if that's what you really want to do, you would know at some point, and most people should know at some point in time when they need to be like, you know what, let me see what the Postal Service is doing.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I just think that maybe this teacher is doing that. Maybe he's telling you, hey, I don't think you're going to make it to the NBA. However, you can be a Fortune 500, you know.
Yeah.
President or something, and I don't have a problem with that. But like, and I'm gonna hop off that subject specifically. But in that blog, I want to read you a part. He says, "And if you do ever visit my school, you also won't mention that along
my
with
school.
Your with on." I'm sorry, Marlon cut me off like somebody that used to work at. He said, and if you do ever visit my school, you also won't mention that along with your father's success came all the monetary rewards none of my students have, like 3 square meals a day, a full-size court and hoop in the backyard, a sense of security, a mother and a father, 2 top schools, top peers, and a community of resources. According to my kids, you come from another planet. That's a true statement.
Here's my thing with that.
I think it's a bit it's a bit extreme.
Yeah,
I think he gave you the harsh extreme reality of it, but that's true.
And then I sense a little ego too. My school.
But my thing is, at the same time, why would, if he decides to come to your school, My thing is, he decided to come to your school.
It's his school.
And you're saying, right, I'm sorry, if Stephen Curry decides to come to his school,
Eastside High,
I think that is wrong in general, because I just think people just need inspiration, period. And we don't know what he's going to say when he get there. We don't know that, but at the same time, I just feel like it's ways of doing it. Because I know growing up, my mom said, she said that almost every time I talked about playing sports, about the whole 1 in a million and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't agree with saying I don't want him to come and talk to my students.
My students!
Because he's not going to give the reality.
It's my gym!
Of what's going on. I don't agree with that. I just don't. Like, find another way. Just find another way. I just don't get that.
I think that the way he's doing it is drawing attention to it, and that's what this blog was meant to do.
Look, I don't know. I didn't catch what nationality he was, but I'm saying, like, in the African-American community, there's just so much negativity. And then the thing of it is, every time an African-American do something, we sit around here and we figure out some kind of way to make it negative. If we try to go out and protest and march and say, oh, we rallying for Mike Brown, well, protesting don't work no more. Even though I agree with that, but at least they tried something, because most of the time we ain't moving. Why they ride and tan up their own neighborhood? I ain't saying that right, but if they just sit in the house and didn't do nothing, then what? And you know, just like Michael Jackson was black, he turned himself into a white lady, everybody criticized him. Bruce Jenner went from an ugly white man to Caitlyn, and he's ugly as a white woman. And everybody is going bananas. We
boy,
love it. We're giving you props. And you're going to win the Courage Award.
Wait until that question come around.
I get you. And I do see the race part of it. Because like I said, at the beginning, I said he has a lot of generalizations. I think this was done on purpose. But we're not going to sit up here and act like he was basically calling out Steph Curry and saying, you a bad person. He's saying, I don't want you to inspire my kids to follow an unrealistic dream. And if telling my kids the truth will save them to making a better life for themselves, then won't you do it? I don't have a problem with my kid's teacher who, let's be honest, most of the teachers don't give a crap about these kids anyway.
Today's
if
time,
you
yeah.
care enough to worry about that kid's future and not just passing them through the class, I don't have a problem with you telling my kid the truth. I just want it to be the absolute truth.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. I can't sit up here and read what he wrote and say that this is not the absolute truth, because we have all experienced it. We're all hoping for that 1 in a million, and you're supposed to hope. But it's still 1 in a million.
That's true. Okay, let me ask you this. Now, at his school, so I'm going to say quote, but he said it's my school. Okay. Now, you don't want Steph Curry to come because of the false dream and the false idolization, right? Okay. Now, if you at your school and these kids are 17, 18 years old, if you still got kids that's barely making JV or on the varsity team and not doing all this traveling team stuff, and they still and if it takes seeing Steph Curry and they gonna think that, you already done failed, because you should already know. As a teacher, you done seen this time and time again. These kids come, now this kid's on the traveling team, this kid's doing this kid's doing that, this kid's getting a bunch of letters, he has a chance. This kid, he's on the team, he's the seventh man off the bench, he plays a little bit in the summer. He should already know he ain't got no chance, because you're there at your school.
How many, see, you're assuming that most of them know that. I'm assuming that most of them don't. It's got to be an in-between. I think a lot of them don't know, I'm not going to make it.
No, I'm not assuming. What I am assuming is, if he is that passionate about informing his children of realism, with or without Steph Curry, they already been hit with the real. If it takes Steph Curry to come there for 20 minutes and talk to those kids and unbreak everything he's done, he's failed.
I disagree, because in the letter, he also gets to a big point of the letter, which is he even brings in Beyonce and all that. He says we have a thing of celebrity worship, and that's what he is. Exactly what he says. Because this is what celebrity worship does, we need our kids to do less of it rather than more. A celebrity walks in your class, and no matter what your teacher had been saying, celebrity walks in there, you're going to believe everything that celebrity says, you book it. That's how most kids are.
At their age, at 17, 18.
Yes. Even more now.
Have mercy on my soul. I don't want no more kids then.
Even more now.
And they ain't trying to be funny. And this is Rashad Davis, because this is my opinion. I think this generation is really corrupted. And my thing
I agree.
Is, I mean, really corrupted.
I totally agree.
I just feel like I'd rather for somebody like Stephen Curry, that I think is a good example, come to my school and try to inspire than these kids on these streets following these other guys that's thugs in the whole nine.
Thank you.
Let me
ask because when I say this generation is corrupted, I say this all the time. We went from growing up wanting to be doctors, lawyers, even teachers, to now you got boys that want to be thugs, and they want to rob, and they want to gang bang in the whole nine, and you got little girls that want to be reality TV stars, or they just want to twerk on Twitter.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think that most of the boys want to be thugs?
Hip-hop music.
And this is the music I love, and that's true.
But it's more
TV
than the 90s, though. Let's clarify that. That's more so from the 90s, and the kids that listened to that type of music in the 90s brought it into the 21st century. Because hip hop was not like that in the 80s, and then like now it got a little bit of bubblegum kind of to it now, a little bit of pop now. That 90 to from Chronic to what's the last hardest album?
Sure, I was finna say NWA Star from
okay,
there.
From NWA, which like 91.
Yeah, because like NWA, you know how they style was, yeah. And really the flip was supposed to be the flip style of NWA was supposed to be Public Enemy, but
hardest albums was like DM, but it turned to trap music, like it's Jeezy and all that, and it glorified it instead of it being a true state testimony. But I'm saying all that to say, that's what it's come from. Like Rick Ross don't inspire your kid to do nothing, but do whatever you got to do to get the money you got to, and then you can become a rapper.
He inspires me.
So what? Lose weight?
Lose my stomach. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You still got one.
He lost a lot of weight, though.
He lost a lot of weight.
But I won't lose mine.
He looked like he ate one kid instead of two now. But it's a thing of, and even look at the girls. The reason the girls are acting like these reality stars is because you can be a reality star and become famous. So what happens when a guy comes in there and he's a superstar? He's going to make you want to follow his path. And I think that's what he's saying. Some of my kids, or I'm not even going to say some, most of his kids do not need to follow your path.
But at the same time, it always comes back to, I would rather for them to talk to Stephen Curry than to talk to some thug on the street. Because let's be honest, a lot of these kids, they inner city kids. Let's just be real. They see this walking home.
And the thing about it too, Rashad, even when you meet these so-called hardcore rappers and they come and talk to kids and stuff like that, they're not, I'm not saying that some of them are not real as far as what they've been through, but they're not that guy that's out on the street every night. These people are going home to mansions and whatever. Like if you've ever seen, who's a rapper I've met before? I can't think of anybody I'll talk to. T.I. We know he has a flaming hot temper.
Okay.
But he don't come off like, you know, like he walking around every day with a gun on him and like he get ready, like, you know, well, partner, and him, man, it ain't even him.
That used to be him.
I mean, but we're talking about his environment changed.
Right now.
He changed.
Yeah.
I know before when, you know, around trap music time, before trap. Matter of fact, what's that one song he had about, I think it was called like Looking at Your Dad. And it keep going like it was about that ASS. Like,
yeah.
You know what song I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
It
what
was
you're
before
about.
Trap music. It was like one of his little solos. Like, when I remember when he made that, like, he was still hood. You know what I mean? So, but now, like, now,
Well, I mean, like, I'm gonna give you this example. You know how we always had career day. Every school had career day.
Yes.
Even though it was so many athletes, like it was a few athletes that actually went pro that went to my school. None of them showed up. Mm. But it was one particular guy. It was funny because we didn't know who he was. My art teacher, Ms. Ruffro, said, I decided to bring somebody that I think is inspiring, that's working on their life, and I'm going to bring them to my class. They're one of my favorite students. And this heavyset guy, he came in, and he taught. When I say he taught, it got to the point where other teachers was grabbing their students to come in that art class. Because
mm-hmm.
he was so inspiring, things he was saying. We didn't know who the guy was until, of course, years later, which was Killer Mike. But my thing is, we didn't know who he was. We didn't even know what he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
He inspired us. Like, kids just, that high school I went to, that's what we needed. Period.
Yeah.
It's all about, for me, the inspiration. And that's why he's my favorite rapper. As far as solo, I always said, and y'all know this, I always said Killer Mike is my favorite rapper. Didn't even know that was him back then. He was just a dude talking. I didn't peep out that it was Killer Mike until I bought the album. And I looked inside, and he thanked Miss Ruffro and thanked her for letting him come to all them career days, and I put two and two together. I just think kids need, even at 16 or 17, and I get what he's saying. I just, like I said, it's just a letter that he wrote. We don't know how he come off. We don't know.
Yeah.
That's like somebody sent you a text message.
I think he's a hater.
That's what I want. We don't know how he comes off. My thing is, if it comes off the way I kind of read it, I just feel like, yeah, do that. Because you got kids, you got other people that's not going to tell them. It's just ways of doing it. But just to say, I don't want athlete, or I don't want this. I mean, he had like, it was Marcus Vick coming to his, you know, if Marcus Vick wanted to come there.
You see this dog? My brother dog. I'm inspiring you not to raise dogs.
This is a good guy.
I get it.
And that's why I'm like.
I totally get it. I'm just saying, for the reason he wrote this letter,
mm-hmm.
I don't think he was saying it per se as, I don't want you here.
Right.
It was more of a, can you tell them the reality of
what's going on?
Can expect? And all of us have said it. Because we've all met the athletes in school. All of us said they came to the same with the same script. Every last one.
Yeah.
And not many of them told the truth, except in your case, Killer Mike.
Right.
He told the truth. To be honest, it's really up to us to go back to our schools. And when we have found some type of success, even if that's mental and soulful, it's up to us to really go back to those schools.
Yes, sir.
Because these celebrities, I know what we think is right. These celebrities override the mama, the daddy, the teacher, the principal, everybody. If they say it, it's Bible. If LeBron James say mm-hmm. something, it's fact. If your mama said it, I don't know. You might not know what you're talking about. It's just truth of the matter. But we got phone calls, and we also have some tweets for some really good tweets that happened earlier today. So I don't know where you want to go with it.
Let's go with a caller, because we got a lot of people that been waiting for a while. So we're going to start out with the first caller. Actually, okay, I'm going to call the last four digits of your number, and that's an opportunity for you to talk. So here we go. 6869. That's 6869. You're now on the up for discussion.
Hey, guys. It's Kim.
Hey.
Hey, Kim.
Hey. So, yes, I love this topic, and y'all gave their, you know, a good background and an opinion about it. So here's what I think, just to kind of touch on some of the questions and the points that y'all have already raised. One, I heard somebody ask, was it his place? Was it his place to do that? And I think it absolutely is a teacher's place to do that. And in the way he did it, which y'all have talked about it, I think that it really boils down to intent. Because in cases where somebody's trying to put you down and kill your dreams, you know, like Marlon said, you get a feel for when somebody's trying to, you know, cut you down, as opposed to it coming from a place of love and concern and somebody's just trying to, you know, be real with you. So it really boils down to the intent. And so I believe that, like someone else said, that since he cared enough to even compose this you know, that he's coming from a good place. He's coming from a good place. And it further, Marlon, I think you keep harping on the fact that he's saying my kids, my school. That's what teachers, good ones who are invested in their kids do. They call them and refer to them as my kids. These are my kids. There's not those kids, you know, these kids. These are my kids, you know. And so that's the language of an invested teacher, a giveaway language. So I don't fault him or begrudge him for that, because that to me further shows his intent behind what he's saying, that it's from a place of care and concern, first of all. So, you know, what follows behind that, I think, you know, it's important to keep it in mind what his intentions were. And then, you know, when you talk about somebody had said something about giving false hope and things. I mean, I don't. That's the opposite of false hope to me. What he's trying to do, you know, is give a reality and not false hope. And then somebody else said something about, you know, we just need inspiration. Kids need inspiration. They just need inspiration. Why can't reality be inspiring? Why can't? I mean, you have so many. You have so many common everyday people in regular, everyday, the majority-type careers who always harken back and think, right, who gave them some kind of pep talk or who gave them some kind of reality check. You know, if it wasn't for Miss So-and-so who sat me down and told me this, I mean, so reality can be inspiring. It should be more so than false hope, more so than, you know, a dream. Reality should be just, if not more, inspiring, I believe. And I think that's where, you know, that's where he was coming from with that. And I don't think that he was trying to tell them not to come or, you know, not like that. I think that, like you said about the style of the letter and everything, I think that it absolutely was so that it draws its attention so that when they do come, because it was never, they said Step was never even scheduled to go there. It was never an invitation. It was never anything, you know, that he was responding to, the teacher was responding to formally. It was just out there like, you know, if you're going to come or if you want to come, I think by him putting it out there like that, that these now will be some of the topics that they hit on as far as reality checks, like y'all were talking before about how scripted everything, those visits are. Now that he put it out there, maybe perhaps it won't be so scripted anymore. Perhaps they will interject, you know, some reality. And how Plan B, because like you said, with the Plan B situation, I mean, you have other very popular motivational speakers who tell kids don't have a Plan B. Because if you have a Plan B, that means you're not focused on your Plan A. And if you're not focused on your Plan A, then it's going to fail. I mean, I've heard motivational famous people say that and put that out there about not having a Plan B so that it helps you focus. There's merit to that, too. So the reason why I think that it's absolutely a teacher's place is because it is that teacher that's having to tell them and combat those things every day. Those questions, what, you know, how am I, when am I ever going to use this in the real world, quote unquote, the real world? They want to know about the real world and why they got to, you know, study math and why they got to do this and that, because the real world, okay, so then as your teacher, I'm going to tell you about the real world. And so, yeah, I believe it was absolutely his place to do that. Like I said, because he's having to combat all the other influences that they have every other day with the celebrity and the social media and all that kind of stuff. And like somebody else said, no matter all year long, for multiple years, he may have been preaching the same message. And then some celebrity comes and just wipes that all out in an hour assembly. You know, so, yeah, I think it was absolutely his right, his place to say that. And I don't think he was coming from a mean place or killing kids' dreams or none of that. You know, he specified who he was talking about. But now I do think on the flip side of that, that if Steph and whoever else, if they do come to the schools and they do put in, you know, a healthy dose of reality with whatever they're saying, then and as a way of following up or you know, backing up what teachers have to say to these kids every day, then it would be a powerful message coming from that type of celebrity, as opposed to it constantly coming from the teachers and constantly coming from the parents or whatever. But it's got to be the same message. Again, not dream killing, you know, but what for me and my own son, you know, who has the potential to be the greatest, right? I can't crush his dreams or kill his dreams, but at the same time, you know, I have to find that balance with him because he is in high school now, you know, and stuff is real. So I have to find that balance with him, and I'll say stuff like, because to me, my son is a natural-born engineer, like the way his mind works, his curiosity, his interest.
Cam, we're going to go to – Cam, just hold on. We're going to go to the next caller, okay? I appreciate you calling in.
Cam was cooking with hot fish. Oh,
yeah, she's rolling.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Okay.
We love it. We love it. Stay on the line.
All right.
Gotta love Kim, man.
Yeah, I appreciate when she, you know, when she called
she was
in.
She's ready.
Yeah. Hey, let's read some of the tweets that you were referring to. All
right. Good friend of the show, C-Dot on Twitter. We started the conversation. He basically said, why would Curry not emphasize hard work? What sports player says, it's easy to get where I am if you rich. He also says, the man sounds hurt. If it's their dream to play ball and are already doing so, there are different avenues to go. He doesn't know what someone like Steph might do for them in terms of inspiration and or motivation. Not to mention the students that are doing well, not just in sports, but other areas. Couldn't they use encouraging words? A lot of ninjas in my school, neighborhood, boys and girls club, etc., didn't have a chance. But if Michael Jordan wanted to come, we'd listen. Point being, you don't know the impact someone like that can have on your youth, but people also complain that there aren't any black leaders. So I thought that was a really good tweet. And also, my Dougie off of Twitter, he says that the teacher should have just said, don't come around selling hoop dreams and been done with it. Instead, he was trying to be poetic, but it wasn't 100% BS. I thought both of those were, you know, good statements.
Yeah,
both of those are good statements on the subject.
I agree with both of those, and I understand.
Yeah, they're fair, but that's the thing. That's the problem in today's society. We want everything to be so easily given to us. If your kid wants to be a pro athlete or an engineer, whatever the case may be, it's going to take hard work.
Mm-hmm.
I tell everyone that, you know, and I'm a realist about my kid. I'll tell you in a minute if I thought he was dumb or, you know, I'll tell you. My kid is one of the most naturally gifted baseball players I've ever seen at his age. And he looks above average when he's out there. The only reason he doesn't look great is because he doesn't work hard when he is on the field, because he hates practice. He hates hard work. He hates running. He hates all that stuff. And I watch him, and I'm like, oh, my God, this kid can go out here, act like he's sick, and then when game time comes up, because he don't practice the whole week, game time comes up because they need him in the lineup because they know he can play, he goes out there and get 4 or 5 RBIs. You know, he goes and robs the kid, you know, like out in the outfield or on third base. That's amazing to me. But he doesn't want to work hard. That's the key element that a lot of people don't think about. You know, and I don't know any athlete that won't say it's not hard work. It sounds cliche, but it's the truth. Because I remember every athlete I ever met, I always said, if you know, you have to work hard at whatever you want.
No, I mean, no, I absolutely agree.
I just think that kid, I think that was the kid that they cut Michael Jordan and put him on the team, and then Michael Jordan went on to the NBA and he wound up teaching. That's what I think happened.
Yeah, he was at the ceremony to open up.
That's who I want to see come to the school.
Marlon Copeland is pointing at Riley Cooper. I mean, Riley Curry.
Well, I mean, I think we all do agree on a little bit of what was being said. And, you know, like I said before, like I'd rather for Stephen Curry to, you know, come to my school, unlike
some of these athletes that makes a decision that they want to put all kind of crazy mess on social media that I'm not understanding. Like the person that Stephen Curry is going to go against, well, his team, which is across from him, which is LeBron James, when he decided him and a couple more guys like Emma Shepard and with J.R. Smith or Kendra Perkins, they want to do the flick of the wrist. Who else was in that video?
Kendra Perkins' knees.
And it was bleeding.
Yeah.
And he talking about the flick of the wrist.
And he played like 3 minutes that game.
Like,
look at the scoop of that knee.
At this point, do the NFL need to, I mean, I'm sorry, do professional sports in general need to get involved as far as athletes and social media? Because some of them just go beyond at this point.
They shouldn't have to, but I fought like the handlers. Because, like, LeBron is a walking, talking, breathing endorsement machine. And it's unfair that, you know, when you become a celebrity or whatever you become, athlete, you kind of, that lifestyle of, like, how we can do certain things, you know, like, unless you're a comedian, because, you know, you can get away with certain things as a comedian, but, you know, you can't do the flick of the wrist, you know, because you're referring to a song that's a drug reference. And you're like, you know, the best player on the planet right now. You can't do that. I just think, like, I fought his handlers. Like, LeBron had this. I love LeBron. But he done did some dumb. Well, I'm talking about ever since he been on Twitter, he done did some odd things at times. Like, sitting on his couch, I got two brains. I've never gotten some of the stuff he's done. I fought his handlers.
Yeah, I don't think the league, it's not the league's job to police what their athletes are tweeting or Facebooking or
right.
Snapchatting or Instagramming or, man, there's so many on this is coming out. You can't look at every single thing that they're doing. It's not your job. You know whose job it is? The PR company
that you should
hire, but everybody doesn't hire them. People like James Harden. But but yeah, you need to hire PR people to protect your brand. And here's what athletes don't realize. The age of social media has changed the way that we look at people. Friends don't mean friends anymore. Associates don't mean associate. Followers don't mean followers anymore. So it's like we tweet and we say these things as though those are our best friends sitting in our living room. It's not. These are different people. One college exec said, college AD said, you have to realize that everybody's a reporter now.
Yes.
So whatever you do, somebody with a camera phone or anything can tweet it, catch it. You are scarred. This wasn't how it used to be, but that's how it is now. You need to be cognizant of social media. And
yes.
If you're not cognizant of it, it will destroy you. The problem is, I think that the media has vilified people that do it correctly, and they don't vilify the people that do it incorrectly as much. Like, people, whenever you talk about social media athletes, you talk about Chad Johnson. What Chad Johnson has done is market himself. That's completely, don't compare that to what LeBron was doing in the video talking about flicking the wrist. That's completely different. That ain't got nothing to do with marketing. That's stupid.
Yeah. I also, you know, speaking of James Harden, I get so tired of seeing, oh, he paid $70,000 for a stripper to hang out with him. I ain't paying nobody $70,000 to hang out with me.
You can get them strippers to hang out with you for free.
You want to pay Serena Williams $70,000? Got it!
You know what? Because you know, if I ever get to the point of seven, eight figures, you know I'm afraid of losing that money that I would not do it.
That's funny.
Yeah, I would try to talk her down about 2,000.
I get it.
I don't even think you would have to even pay her.
I would hope not.
I think you can just talk to her. I'm going to be honest with you.
But I talked last week about LeBron James in that stupid video. You let J.R. Smith get you. I have no other explanation for that. That was J.R. Smith. He was holding the camera. It's him. You need to be able to realize and say, this is J.R. Smith. Let me not follow this man in this cold tub and do this dying song.
That's what we need to be talking about.
The fact they were doing
a
it in
bunch
a cold
of
tub.
Men.
Yeah.
A bunch of men in no a tub on. With no clothes on.
One of them had some ice on.
Flicking
the
wrist.
All right.
Look at them, look at them.
I couldn't do it, man. When I seen that video, I just kept saying, did anybody pay attention that Kendrick Perkins' knees are bleeding through the ice bag?
Through the bag.
For 3 minutes.
For 3 minutes of play. Jesus Christ.
I couldn't do it. I could not be in no small tub with
right.
a bunch of men, no clothes on, singing that song. I couldn't be singing no song.
And I'm going to say this point before I get to my final point on this. Colin Kaepernick, I have to talk about him.
Yes.
Oh, that was so stupid.
Because it's nuts. In case you missed it, Colin Kaepernick, in the midst of all the flooding that was going on in the last week and a half in Houston, and my Houston followers, I'm taking up for you here. This nutbag, when 30 people had died from this, this nutbag decides to tweet out, Instagram it. He Instagrammed a picture of the flooding and said, I warned you, 7's coming. And 7 is his number, just in case you didn't get the corny hashtag. He says, 7 is coming, Houston. And I don't know why he thought this was okay. And then his rebuttal was even dumber. His rebuttal to it, let me see if I can find it, because this dummy. He said, I'm so sorry about my insensitive post earlier today. I didn't fully understand how many people are struggling in Houston right now.
It's flooded.
Thank you. My prayers are with everyone. Man, you just took a picture of water up to people's car windows, and you don't think that it was as serious as it seemed. You stupid Negro of you. Man, you know what?
He's not a Negro.
Is he? Whatever he is, hey, we are disowning him.
He's Taliban.
We are releasing him.
He is. Isn't he like his dad is like Taliban, his mom is white.
Jesus, he said that. I'm not touching on that.
I'm just saying.
But Colin Kaepernick, that was by far one of the dumbest things you've done. Not only was that stupid, but that hashtag 7's coming is stupid as well. I don't. I'm sorry. It's really a number 7. It's hashtag the number 7 storms. So it's like STORMS. So
mm-hmm.
He's using the 7 as the number, as the letter S. It doesn't look like an S. The number 5 looks like an S, but he's too stupid to realize that. 7 storms coming.
But he had to go by his jersey number.
You and I get it. You stupid. You stupid. And this is why I say, this is when not the league needs to get involved. Your team has to get involved. Your team has to discipline.
He ain't got
you.
No teammates that live in Houston.
That's a good question. He probably does. A lot of people live in Houston. Houston's like Atlanta. A lot of people go there to bed on the off season. I just don't get. I get tweeting something stupid because I've done it. I've Facebooked something that it wasn't the brightest.
Well, I think we all have.
We've done it. However, you have to realize your status. And realize,
yes.
too, that just because you tweet it and delete it, or Instagram it and delete it, there are still screenshots. And people are living for the screenshots.
Oh, they say, even beyond screenshots, they said, once you put it in the,
Twitterverse?
The Twitterverse or whatever, it stays there. That stuff
ain't
don't
going
go nowhere.
So
it ain't going nowhere.
So this is the thing. If we was in San Francisco and our lives was in danger, and he could save everybody by throwing the accurate pass. Will we live or will we die?
Man, see y'all at the crossroads.
Amazing grace.
You won't be lonely.
I'll see
you at the crossroads. Now.
Oh, hell no.
Jeez, I just want them to stop.
I don't like him because he proved me wrong, too. I thought this kid was going to be something. He was all right.
I did too.
He was all right up on the Harbaugh.
He's an excellent quarterback when he has his first read. It's open. I like to say. His first read is open. He's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much about it. I don't even think he's made it to his third read, and this is what, his third season as a starter?
Yeah.
Third or fourth.
Not going to make it.
this is gonna be the worst. I think he's gonna be the second or third worst quarterback in the NFL this year.
Jesus.
Manziel is gonna be the worst.
No.
If he starts.
I was gonna say, is he gonna play?
Geno Smith.
If he starts. No, I think Geno's gonna do a tad bit better.
Oh,
Geno got some weapons.
I wish one of them he'll pull on himself and pull the trigger. Hey, don't judge me. Marlon told somebody to die early in the show.
That's true. That's because he downed me.
Well, Geno makes me depressed.
He's going to be the second worst. And Kaepernick will be the third worst. No, he might be the fourth worst because E.J. Manuel or whoever the Bills quarterback might be the third worst. And then Kaepernick.
Yeah. I just think athletes need to have a game plan on social media.
And followed by Andy Dalton, Mark Brunell. He did something stupid on Twitter. He put that list on Twitter. That was disrespectful.
Who's Mark Brunell? I don't recognize him.
Heavy set. I ain't gonna say it.
I don't acknowledge Mark Brunell. Who is that?
Made me sick. I can't believe he's Andy Dalton. Boy, your mama ashamed.
What did he say? Andy Dalton, the 11th? Or
second tier. He's like number 8 or 9.
Yeah, he's the top second tier quarterback. All righty.
You know what?
That's why he lost all that money when he was trying to do that financial stuff. When he was trying to, grow his money in finances and real estate, he ain't the boy slow. That's why he lost his money.
It's there.
Andy Dalton. Hey, Andy.
Hi. No. What about these athletes? Because a lot of them do it. They get on social media after being so emotional. Like, why? It's like they're using it for therapy or, like, I don't get those. But you got T.J. Lane that played for the Green Bay Packers when he said, F the NFL, fire me. Use the money to pay the regular refs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who can remember that one?
No, you know who God, what is his name? He's a St. Louis running back from last year. Not Benny Cunningham. What's Benny Cunningham? I forgot. But
no,
and not Trey Mason.
You talking about the one that got mad and wanted to be traded?
Yeah, and he immediately got traded.
Is it Stacy?
Yeah,
Zach Stacy.
Zach Stacy, as soon as they drafted Todd Gurley, he decides to get on Twitter and voice his complaint. You got moved instantly for nothing. There's a wait period for when media can talk to athletes.
Right.
I think that same thing needs to be for getting your phone or getting online.
You know what? This is somebody that's Atlanta. Well, I won't say he's from Atlanta, but he played his entire career here in Atlanta. Chipper Jones.
Oh, Lord.
Chipper.
I love Chipper. Chipper has made some monumental mistakes on Twitter.
He has.
Like the most recent one, he wanted to fight a fan.
I like that one, though.
But you can't do that.
You're right.
You can't do that.
That guy said, I serve this country. Chipper Jones was like, I still whoop you.
You can't do that. I love Chipper, but you can't do that, man.
Chipper has made a lot of mistakes since getting on Twitter.
Yeah, he has.
I just think, especially when you're in the league, there needs to be a time when you don't have your phone. And you need to manage your devices. Not to get all biblical, but in the Bible it tells you to, to cut off your hand if it's making you stumble. Alright, do something with your phone if that's what your downfall is. I mean, if after the game you often make mistakes, then for the next 3 hours after the game, you need to have a member of your entourage that has your phone, and he doesn't give it back to you until 4 hours later.
Nah, your PR just need to change your password, and don't give it to you till the next day.
Oh, yeah, or take it completely. Take it completely.
Right. Or create a fake account, and not of yourself. Just be like Richard Brown or something, and just tweet, y'all better lay off Colin Kaepernick. 7 worlds here.
You got to be smart about, we went into a social media age. You have to grow with social media. You can't stay in the past to say, I can say what I want. Jordan said what he wanted. Guess what? Social media wasn't around.
Social media wasn't around because I truly believe in my heart and soul and every fiber of my being that Michael Jordan would not be deemed the greatest by many people if they knew a lot of the stuff that he did.
Oh, totally agree. Totally agree.
That's why Derek Jeter is deemed one of the greatest, because he kept everything low key, even though he wasn't all that great. But, I mean, I respect him.
Right.
You know, Michael Jordan, Jim McMahon, they better be glad and social media wasn't around.
But Jim McMahon got a lot of camera time.
Yeah.
But think about it, like, even with the camera time, you add in social media, like, it's all day work.
Dude, he mooned the news, man. I just saw that yesterday. I was like, dude.
The dumb mistakes we make. And I don't even know why. Because even I know when I'm tweeting something, and sometimes I'll say, nah, let me delete that. Don't press send. Who said that? Tony Dungy?
Herm Edwards.
Don't press send.
I know, right?
don't press send. That's what y'all need to do. J.R. Smith should have did it today.
Remember when he was stalking Rihanna on Twitter?
Yeah, I remember that. I would have did it too.
Man, everybody wanted Rihanna at one point.
Hey, Robin.
I never liked her.
Robin.
I don't know her to not like her. I'm saying I never thought she was physically attractive.
I thought she was attractive, but not to the extent how some people view her. That's just me.
That is the views and thoughts of Marlon Copeland and Rashad Davis.
Yeah,
not the views of Mike Bovell.
But I wasn't crazy about her.
His wife has given him a pass for you, okay, Robin? I enjoy your music and your livelihood. Thank you. No. What? J.R. Smith today, he said he called Caitlyn Jenner Science project.
No.
You call her a science project. Don't press send. Don't press send.
Mama named Bruce.
Exactly. Hey, that's exactly what Timberland said.
It's all good. I mean, I don't have no problem with Caitlin.
It's just when he deleted it fast. You know, he had somebody call him just, boy, take that down quick.
He's like, no.
And he had it up. And by the end, all the screenshots was there. We know you said it now. So, man, it's.
He do look bad.
You have to just be careful of what you press send on. And for when you're using it, I think that you should only use it to extend your brand or stay in touch with your with
you
your
mean
fans.
As a athlete?
Yeah,
or,
as an athlete.
Or as a
right.
I think,
entertainer.
I think any level of fame you get, you need to only do it to extend your brand or stay in touch with your fans. That is it.
But can I ask you guys a quick question? Why is it that, and I mean, because this is prevalent on social media, what are your guys' thoughts on why is it that whenever someone feels as if homosexuality or feels as if transgender, whatever has to do with, you know, that type of realm, when they feel like that's being attacked, it's like the entire world rallies together to come to the defense of that subject. But if something was to happen to someone abruptly and they were innocent of it, it's like, well, let me, you know, need to know all the facts.
Well, that's interesting, because me and Mike, it's actually the whole Bruce Jenner situation is actually one of the For the People questions. But I was telling Mike, I said something, and it was something simple, when disrespectful, and I got jumped on about that whole situation with Bruce Jenner and Caitlyn Jenner. I got jumped on.
You said that like that's two separate people.
Technically.
What? Stop.
He was in there.
Look, I've never said anything negative about it. I just say he's ugly.
I never
that's
said.
My opinion. I say he's an ugly man, ugly woman. I don't do that because I know the people that I need that's behind the camera. I need them, you know, so I can get casted. But I just say he's ugly. But
no,
I was kidding about what he did.
I never said anything disrespectful. To me, it wasn't disrespectful. It wasn't. I just asked a simple question, and everybody in mama jumped on me saying I was being disrespectful. Now I don't get it. But I'll talk about it when it's For the People.
Well, like I said, we might as well get ready to go to the For the People segment.
Okay.
But before we do that, it's purely a thing of homosexuality has a power linked to it. That's just truth of the matter. I said it. Mainstream media won't say that, but this is up for discussion, brought to you by Four Home Field Advantage at 7 p.m. every Wednesday. We gonna say it. Homosexuality has power. And anytime it's attacked, people come to its defense. You know, meanwhile, a black man can die. You know, they'll tell us to stop tweeting hashtag Black Lives Matter. Let's go.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get started with the For the People segment. Now, let me break it down. What is the For the People segment?
North Star.
This segment is questions that's coming from the people of For Home Field Advantage. And if you're a part of For Home Field Advantage Trash Talk, we always put in this question every show where we ask you what would you like for us to talk about. And it can be sports related or anything outside of sports. But For the People segment is brought to you by 48 Media.
Calling all independent and unsigned artists, producers, DJs, models, and photographers. Do you want to gain more exposure? Need to build a buzz? Then check out 48 Media and submit to be featured on 48media.com. Send your request to info@48media.com. That's F-O-U-R, the number 8, media.com. You can also find 48 Media on Facebook and Twitter. Just search the number 4, E-I-G-H-T, Media. 48 Media.
Thank you, Cameron. Now, let's go ahead and get started. First question is coming from Sean Russell.
North Star.
His question is, what are your thoughts on Bruce Jenner supposedly being the next recipient of the Arthur Ashe Courage Award?
Now, hold on. Before we answer Sean Russell's question, ESPN has released a statement since the show has been on. ESPN released this statement. They said, the Arthur Ashe Courage Award is meant to honor individuals whose contributions transcend sports through courageous actions. Sometimes that courage is demonstrated over the course of a lifetime, and sometimes it is demonstrated in a single act that shines a light on an important contemporary issue. At all times, there are many worthy candidates. This year, we are proud to honor Caitlyn Jenner, embracing her identity, and doing so in a public way to help move forward a constructive dialogue about progress and acceptance. This came out within the last hour from ESPN. Actually, ESPN's PR department.
Wow, so that just changed my view. Go ahead.
To be honest, I really don't care about Caitlyn Jenner. And that's not a shot at her. It's just, I don't care. I just don't. And do I think that there was more people I would have rather see get that award? Yes, absolutely. I said this last year when Michael Sam got it, got the award. And I slightly understood why he was getting it. I just think that I might get slandered a bit, so I'm going to say this as cleanly as I can. Being homosexual, while it may be a difficult decision to come out, it is popular. So it's not as hard to do as it was before.
Woo, Jesus, boy, you're going to get slammed.
I'm not saying it's because I don't know what it's like to live a certain way and want to be another. But you have a support system that is worldwide right now. So it's not as courageous as it was before. On top of that, we have always known about the changing of your sexuality for years. Nothing new. So I say all that to say I would have liked to see somebody else get it. But I understand why ESPN did it. You did it for ratings. I'm just going to call it out. You didn't do it because you wanted to stand for something. You did it because you wanted everybody to watch your television screen. Period.
Let's see here. I really didn't. I don't care about him getting the award. Well, I don't care about her. I don't care about Jenner. I don't care about the individual.
Barely
winning the award. Like, I can rationalize why they're giving the individual the award.
Barely.
I can rationalize it. I even rationalize Michael Sam. Whether I agree or disagree, it doesn't even matter. I am not a fan of the ESPY Awards show anyway. I used to be when I was really young. But as I got older and I started to see how it was more of a popularity contest as opposed to the best players winning the actual awards. Like, I remember, I think in 1999, Chipper Jones won MVP of the league, and I think, like, Barry Bonds won, like, Player of the Year. And it's like, didn't Chipper Jones win MVP? You know, so I just kind of got lost, like, with the whole ESPY thing. And it's just a fanfare type thing. I don't look at it as a legitimate award show. And that's, and let me express again, not because of Caitlin or Michael Sam. I've been feeling that way for years. The last time I even tuned in was because I wanted to see what Samuel Jackson was going to do as the host. And that's been, what, about 3 years ago? Oh. So, I'm done.
Yeah, I think the last time I really watched was Jamie Foxx hosting. And that's because I wanted to see what he was going to do with Serena Williams.
What I said at work that got me jumped on was actually what the other two really just said, as far as I was like, am I wrong for caring less about this situation? And I'm just saying as a whole, I wasn't interested, period. I did make a comment saying he's not the first one that done it. But people took it to a whole nother level and they got mad at me about it. As far as him receiving that award, they can give that award who they want to give the award to. I just, like Mike said, I just felt like it could have been other people that would have been more deserving of the award. That's just my personal opinion.
I like Jenner. He's cool.
I ain't got no problem with him.
But I've even said, and you guys know, even before all this ever came out, you guys have heard me say that I have never, like, he looks horrible as a man. Like, you worth over $100+ million, and it looked like you got your plastic surgery done behind a food depot. I've never understood what is going on with him. So, but he cool. Like, I like him on the show, and I don't like his voice. He sounds like Bane, like Gotham's Reckoning is coming. So, he cool though, but just, you know, just weird to me.
I'm not dissing him,
Mr. Wayne.
I just feel like, I think people are upset because I just feel like this is just one of the things I can care less about. And I don't understand why I got jumped on because I said that.
What's the funniest meme that you guys have seen about?
Meme,
yeah, that too. What's the funniest one you've seen?
Okay. Talking about Jenner?
Jenner, yeah.
Oh, no, the one I haven't seen the one I thought was hilarious is like when it official, when he had his special, and then they showed that clip from Married with Children. Now, I thought that was hilarious.
So,
with the whole, when they kept calling what's her face, Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
They kept talking about she was, and, you know, and it was, it came off as saying, Married with Children, seeing the future, what was going to happen in the future, and then show Marcy. That's her name.
Yeah.
And basically, that's when Marcy,
because she came out on the show.
And see, a lot of people, when she started off, she had long hair, and then,
yeah,
you know, she cut her hair, and then they did the whole, hey, ain't that Bruce Jenner? Bo Jackson was on there. Hey, that's Bruce Jenner. You know, I thought that was hilarious, but I haven't seen any other one. I have nothing against him. I just, it's a lot of things.
Individual.
If my thing is this, anybody knows something, there's a lot of things he truly don't care about. I was just one of them.
The funniest one I've seen, two of them, the one where they took Janice Dickinson and put those pictures side by side.
Oh, wow.
And the funniest one, though, was it had all the kids, all the females, right, sitting in the room, Kim and Courtney and all them, and it had Kanye in the middle. They said, I don't know what y'all need to Bruce, but y'all ain't going to do that shit to me. I love that one. I thought that one was hysterical.
That was fun.
Shout out to a follower of the show, somebody who we truly respect, Ramsey Hill. He commented, he said, giving him that award is dumb as giving Kerry Washington NCAA Image Award for playing a home record. This is accurate. This is all accurate statements. I mean,
I am Gotham's Reckoning.
Here's the truth of the matter. We are assuming that ESPN is an honest conglomerate,
media conglomerate, yes,
that wants to really stand for something. The only thing they stand for is their own agenda and ratings. That's it. So why is Caitlyn Jenner getting the award? Because of ratings. That's it. Just, I hate to say it, it sounds bad, but this
is
true for the matter. You want the reality? Reality is all they care about is ratings. Other people getting that award, won't help the ratings.
All right.
Break your spirit.
Let's move on. We got a couple questions for the people. So
thank you, Ramsey, for posting. Thank
Brother
you
Ramsey.
Thanks for everybody that follow for Home Field Advantage on Facebook.
MJL, Mr. Michael Lavelle had a question, and I got to say it because Kim actually responded immediately when he threw this out. It looked like she's not on the line anymore. But the question was, who has more power, side chicks or main chicks?
Say what Kim said, because I'm going to address her.
Kim said, let me find it right quick. I'm looking for Kim said, the answer to the question is the man has the most power, obviously. And immediately I told Mike, I'm sorry, side chicks are winning right now. I don't care what anybody say.
Man, and I like Kim and I love her perspective. I don't see your perspective here. I don't see how you saying men are winning. Wait, because they have both? Like, at this point.
That's stressful.
It's stressful, yeah, bruh.
Money flying everywhere.
It's stressful. Side chicks are winning right now, it's only because main chicks are allowing it.
And I disagree. I think it's on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. I'm making a general statement.
Oh, okay.
I'm making a general statement. I know that sometimes it's false, but I just always think back to the our grandmother days, like when there was a side baby or something.
Oh,
like,
the men was winning then.
Yeah, that's when they were winning. It was.
You
like,
I mean, the uncles I got that ain't come from my grandmother.
You know, the side chick, she was always the side chick. She knew her role. She could not come around the house. She could not call. You are the side chick. All he did was sleep with you, but that's my husband. His life is here.
The kids will come to the house too now.
Yeah, the kids will come to the house. But they never went over the side chick house.
No, I'm talking about the side. The children you had with the side chick would be at the main chick house.
Exactly, having dinner and everything over there every weekend.
This is my brother. Where y'all mama at? My mama at home. Mine's inside.
The main chick or the wife always had a claim on that husband and that household, and she never let him go. These side chicks now, I mean, they just posting about that man.
Glorifying.
Like, O.C. Umenyor just got married. I thought, I'm not going to lie, I see a lot of African weddings, and I'm not always into them. But he would look like a beautiful wedding. Married a beautiful woman. Not even the full 24 hours later, a side chick made an Instagram post talking about, this is what I was doing with your man. Hey, man, look, take this L. You were the side chick. That means your position was temporary. Your time is up.
Spirit, and then hit a faucet.
I don't understand what she mean by the men are winning. They used to, but they ain't winning. It's side chicks winning right now. They even getting paid.
Man, they getting TV shows. They getting jobs. They winning right now.
They had a reality show called Mistresses of Atlanta.
They never got off the ground, though, but yeah, I remember they were.
They getting double paid.
Yeah, Zodiac was a side chick. Man, Big Papa, the big dude who owns Shannon Maldon. Hey. That's the reason why the Shannon Maldon exists anymore, because Kim, she took all the money and bought wigs.
And she was double she was winning. She got a job doing reality TV. She getting paid.
They don't get paid a lot, though.
But, I mean, at one point, you know,
Nene do now.
I don't get ready to say now.
But she do now, too, though.
But she do.
Kim gets paid now.
Now.
I don't get ready. I'm just saying, like, they getting money from both ends.
I'm just saying, people start off as side chicks now, and they just flourish. And the main chick is sitting out up there. They catch all the L's now. The wife, she losing on every facet now. She's embarrassed. And then the wife, they're instantly leaving their man now. Like, you cheat, side chick came out, I'm leaving you. Done. They're out. Okay, you catching an L.
You didn't do that in the 70s.
No, they didn't.
The 70s.
Exactly. That's why I respected Jim Jones. I don't even know if they got married.
The white on Bowling, that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know they engaged.
Yeah, I think
they've been engaged for about 30 years.
They have been.
Yeah.
Okay, so she had a mentality. She was like, I know he's out there doing something. I'm not stupid. Just don't ever let me find out. You protect home.
He looks like he's musty, though.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but she has a mentality, but you know what? She still got her man. She still got her household.
She's very down.
Yeah, she still got her man and her household. A lot of main chicks are giving up their man and their household to give them to the side chick.
And I would not be surprised if she ain't doing something.
Ooh, ooh.
Wow.
Let truth be told.
Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, like, but it's like you said. Like, I think, like, this is a great example. I was telling a female this, and she didn't like what I had to say. But I said, men can cheat without emotion. Do what you got to do. Go on about a business. The reason why men go crazy when you guys cheat is because it's emotional. It's gonna mess up everything.
You actually like that dude.
Yeah, it's some emotion there. We can, you know, a man would do whatever he got to do and be like, you know, all right, shut up. Was it good? I'm gone, you know. And, you know, the woman goes, oh, you know, I just love you so much. You're so much better than Billy. Billy makes me feel so bad. And
he's going out to eat with him?
Yeah, you know, I don't care. We're going to walk into this sushi bar together. Come on. You know, all that stuff. You don't do that.
And then you get upset. You say, you know what? I'm going to leave you. Go with the other guy that you've been messing around with. Then he mess around you with another chick. Ah, you're losing.
Yeah, if that's how your relationship, you know, however your relationship starts, is that the basis of it is the foundation is weak.
You can't win.
You are right, though. It's a lot of emotion tied in, and you sleeping over the chick's house. I mean, the dude's house.
Yeah.
Ain't coming home. See,
he cooking breakfast.
A man can do his business and then get right up, pull his pants on, side chick, like, where you going? Where you think I'm going? Don't ask me no questions.
You let him pop your toe.
You don't ask me them questions. You get up and leave. Unless your name is James Harden and you're stupid like that. Falling asleep over the side chick house.
Set him up with Caitlin.
Let's go. Okay, we got one more question for four people.
Let's go.
Okay. What city needs a championship more than Cleveland?
None.
You know what? I'll tell you, I thought about that question. I saw it when I first got here. I was like, what do I think of any city?
No city deserves it more than Cleveland.
I mean, the only city I can randomly even think of would probably be maybe the Kansas City Chiefs, the Kansas City area, or Atlanta.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because we haven't had a championship. Martin Luther King was still alive last time. We didn't even win a championship. Well, no, because we had one in 95. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about basketball. Here. Sorry, Martin Luther King. Anyway.
Martin Luther King.
Kansas City, I think the last 85. Oh, no, that's not a long drought. No, did they win in 85? Yeah.
Royals, right? Yeah, it's Cleveland. It's Cleveland.
I can't think of anything.
I wanted to say Atlanta because we've almost gotten there more than Cleveland has, but Cleveland's just, the history is so bad.
A better question would be what because as a whole state, it would have to be Ohio.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, the national titles at Ohio State they don't count because those are collegiate titles. We're talking about pro.
Yeah. Ohio loop. God, yeah.
And then the last person that brought you a championship was a delusional old man going to take up for him.
Who was that? The Cleveland Indians guy?
Jim Brown.
He brought them a championship?
Yeah, it was the NFL, not NFL, the AFL championship, one of them, yeah.
Okay, that's a long time. Yeah, it's Cleveland.
It's Cleveland.
It's Cleveland. God, it's Cleveland.
I forgot about David Justice. I'm sorry, David Justice. That was the happiest day of my life.
Jesus. I just thought about Craig Elo all over again. God, I thought he had so much potential. And he got shot over.
Don't say Jordan took his potential, though. Don't say
that. No, Jordan didn't take his potential, but Georgia Show killed it. He stepped on it. It was that dog that was limping in the street, and Jordan went ahead and hit him with a Mack truck.
I'm sorry. I don't feel that way.
That's beside the point. I mean, the question is yes.
I still want somebody to name me a perimeter-oriented player that was on that man's level during his era. I'll wait.
And we're going to move on.
Thank you. Thank you. That's for Brother Ramsey right there. Tired of everybody always deeming him the greatest ever.
Lord have mercy.
Jesus.
Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, it's about that time. Final four thoughts. Who'd like to go first?
Final four, man. I am going to go first. In an era where the media's narrative is that black men ain't at home with their kids. We make kids. We don't take care of them. We don't stick with the baby mothers.
That's how it works.
All that stuff. And meanwhile, Steph Curry is embracing every moment he can with his child. Adrian Peterson, as big of a mistake he made, he was still trying to be in all those kids' lives. Adrian Peterson has a lot of kids and a lot of different baby mamas. That is difficult. And he dealt with one that got killed. I think it's time for you to lay off of at least the guys that's trying to be fathers.
That's how it works.
And you're disrespecting fatherhood by continuously attacking them, even just to nitpick. You're a parent and you done made mistakes. Why don't you let them make mistakes? Until then, I salute every guy that's trying to be a father in their kid's life. Doing a good job. Appreciate it.
I'll go next. So, Dwayne Wade and the Miami Heat are at least $10 million apart as far as asking price. I feel as if this is delusional, grotesque, disrespectful, and a multitude of other big words by Dwayne Wade. You are oft injured. You are 33 or 34 years old. You have played off mystique for the past 6 or 7 years. You flamed out probably earlier than Derrick Rose, but it was hidden. And not only that, you tried to do what LeBron did. You can't sign a 2-year contract and say, oh, when the TV deal is up, I want to get blah, blah, blah. You can't do that. You're not LeBron. You old. You done. You need to take this $10 million from the Miami Heat and hope to God that they can bring in Durant or any other big-time name to come and play with you to save your Derek Jeter-like career. Much respect to you, though. I do like your game. I think you're the third best shooting guard of all time. But understand when Father Time is going to win, because Father Time is not is undefeated.
My final thought is some advice that I actually heard earlier today that made a little bit sense to me. And that's this. A lot of people, they don't want their own business. They actually want to stick with a company and stay with them for many years and actually try to move up. But the key to moving up is going by exactly what the requirement is. So, for all you people that want to move up and you keep saying to yourself, I'm going to get in this position and I'm going to be there for 2 years, when the requirement is you only got to have 6 months of experience, do those 6 months, get promoted, and who cares if you don't know what you're doing? And everybody else doing it. 6 months, move up, and yeah, they get dolled out. But when you mess around, you do it for them 2 straight years, you put yourself in a position where you might get stuck. Never thought about it like that. Either way it goes, I ain't trying to work for nobody. Thank you for listening to For Home Field Advantage. Or for discussion, you can check us out on Facebook, For Home Field Advantage Sports Talk, and For Home Field Advantage Trash Talk. Check us out on Twitter. That's the number 4HF Advantage. You can also check us out on sportsblog.com. That is For Home Field Advantage. And of course, on Blog Talk Radio, we are here every Wednesday at the 7 o'clock spot. Check y'all out next week.
Goodbye, Mr. Wayne.
Jesus Christ. Stop it!
Thank you.